Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports-ad-free. That's amazon.com/sports-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Everybody, welcome to the Football Ramble. It's time to talk about football. My name's Marcus Speller and Luke Moore's here.
I can feel the power here inside of me.
Jim Campbell's here.
Me too.
And the powerful Pete Donaldson.
My power's popping out.
Welcome to the power room, ladies and gentlemen.
Power room? Yeah. Sounds like an awesome gym I want to go to.
That is just any room that you're in, isn't it?
Yeah, but we do have an awesome gym amongst us, though, hey. Don't we, Peter?
I mean, I said I had the power inside of me. I didn't realise how powerful the room was in general.
Mm. Some of it got in you.
It did. And it'll never escape. Like that lake at the bottom of the ocean in Blue Planet. I mean, you see that? Amazing. Anyway, we haven't got time for that probably, but it was good. No.
Yeah, we do.
All right, well, listen.
It's a podcast and we're in our own studio. We've got all the time we want.
Marcus, I get the impression that David Attenborough might explain it slightly better than me. So go on to iPlayer, that's all I'll say.
I mean, you could start with Everton's situation and go with a Blue Planet there. But you're not going to, because there's bigger stories.
Well, really, Peter, you should have said we should have gone with Manchester City and gone with a Blue Moon.
Yes.
Or, okay. Marcus, could we perhaps go for, I'm helping you out here, could we perhaps go for a Claret and Blue Planet?
Yes.
In light of what's happened to Mr. Bilic?
Yeah. I mean,
Obviously, it's sad for Bilic, but we do appreciate the West Ham owners doing that before we came in the studio.
Absolutely.
DG.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good that they're doing that. Also, there is a silver lining for Bilic in that he's one of the few managers who can genuinely just get the band back together.
Robbo.
Here's a fact for you.
That was the name of his band, in case anybody...
Here's a fact for you, sponsored by Opta. Mm-hmm. Right. Slaven Bilic has the best points per game ratio of any West Ham Premier League manager.
Wow.
Is that true?
Yeah.
That's dreadful.
1.33 points per game.
Get him back in.
Largely based on that season he had where they were really good.
Yeah.
Well, still.
Yeah. Still counts.
Harry Redknapp and Big Sam Allardyce don't agree with you. No. And the British manager should get a chance.
But they had that thing, didn't they, where they kept giving him like two games or three games and results would improve a little bit. Maybe if they sack him and then immediately rehire him, it would just be an extension of that.
And I'm also, I hope you guys understand what I mean here. I mean, Slaven Bilic is practically a British manager, isn't he?
Yeah.
In everything he does, he's a British manager.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got that aim steel. For a lot of British goals, don't they, with big Andy Carroll up top.
Oh, man, yeah. Well, all his assistants, or certainly most of them, have gone. DG, dudes have gone.
Yeah. Including Julian Dix.
Yeah, that
JD.
Means someone's had to fire Julian Dix. Yeah. Don't want that job.
Hopefully he just walks of his own accord.
Is it fair to say that West Ham didn't make it that difficult for Liverpool in that game?
Yeah.
I mean, even Bilic, poor old Bilic, after the match in the interview, he was resigned to it, wasn't he? Like, he even said, yeah, I believe in myself and all that, but, you know.
killer instinct, etc.
With the air of a man who very much did used to believe in himself. And we've all been there.
Sort of admire that, the sort of self-awareness or the awareness of the situation. Certainly.
Well he can have his own little stadium migration to a new house. Yeah. Wherever he chooses to manage next.
I can imagine Slaven at half-time just coming into the dressing room and saying to the team, I mean, we did say we were going to make it harder for them, didn't we? I don't expect you to win. They're much better than us. Much better. Miles better. But we did say we were going to make it harder.
Remember the chat we had about the running stats?
Yeah,
all right, let's try and get that average up at least. Although my points to games ratio is looking pretty good, despite what happens today. Compared to other West Ham managers, David Moyes is poised to take over.
Yeah, David Poyes.
Yeah. See, this is a fascinating one for me because we've already seen that, you know, with a not great squad that don't try that hard. He's not really the same pair of hands you need, is he?
That's all you need to say, Jim.
David Moyes, he's sort of like the ferryman that takes you from the land of the living to the land of the dead. Yeah. You know what I mean? Surely he's...
Also known as Sunderland.
Yeah. Quite. Is it fair to say they probably would have welcomed Pardew? Like,
yeah,
more
yeah,
than that, quite easy.
At least with Pardew, at least there is that kind of six games that he starts with.
Well, you know.
Is it down to six now? Is it? I know what you mean, but is it down to six games now?
That's all they
need. I haven't checked.
Shaves one off each time, presumably. Yeah.
It's this bad that Pete's saying get Pardew in.
It's just such an underwhelming appointment, isn't it? That nobody will endorse, care about.
Well, at the time of recording, he hasn't been appointed yet, but all the reports and the suggestions say. He's come back from Qatar.
A fairly big West Ham supporters Twitter account.
Mm-hmm.
I forget the name of it, but it was fairly sizable. Ran a poll saying, "I hope the owners will look at the
poll.
We're the biggest West Ham supporters foundation, or whatever. We hope the owners will look at the results of this poll." And the question was, "Do you want David Moyes as the next manager of West Ham?" And I'll give you a chance to guess how many people said yes. What percentage?
I reckon
25.
No, I reckon.
Bear in mind, this might happen.
I reckon 86% of people said no.
Jim?
Yeah, I would say...
It's not going for gold, no pressure.
No, quite. I would say 22% said yes.
25% yes.
9% said yes. 91% said, no thanks, Davey. Off you go. Jog on. And, as they would say in East London, jog on your side.
And your mug.
Did they come up with any other suggestions, or was it just a thumbs down to Moyes?
Wasn't an option, because it's just a Twitter poll, isn't it? So you just have to get you have to vote.
It was,
all people should know that.
Well, I put on a radio vote that what is your favourite primate, and the all four answers were gibbons.
Oh, okay.
Because that's the only answer. All of the answers were gibbons.
It was an advisory referendum, as referendums often are, about David Moyes.
It's not legally binding.
And the people have spoken.
What other things would be better than David Moyes at managing West Ham?
Gibbons.
I'll give you a few things to start with.
See, I actually quite like David Moyes, and it's a shame to hear this, but I understand.
I've got a few ideas. Okay, Andy Carroll, player manager. That'd be better. So an actual plate of pie and mash.
Yeah,
Jim, you're on board with that.
Yeah, bubbles, actual air bubbles.
Yeah. A man dressed as a jelly deal.
Yeah.
I was about to say a jelly deal. Okay. He's gone for bubbles.
A distant.
Not Michael. Michael Jackson's monkey.
A distant chimpanzee. A distant relative of the Krays.
Yeah, and also
which there are so many of, apparently.
What about for next permanent manager, a fading memory of a big contribution to a World Cup win?
Could that
do a job?
Upton Park? Could Upton Park do a job?
Could the bowling ground manage West Ham?
Yeah, a local hammer supplier.
The £1 fish man. Yeah. Anyone? Yeah. Anyone offer any more?
There's enough to be getting on with there, haven't they? They've got a decision to make there, haven't they?
Well, let's do our own Twitter poll.
Yeah.
And that will be legally binding. Yeah. So Westfield. Get your votes in.
But Liverpool were very good, and Mo Salah particularly. I know everyone knows Mo Salah's a good player, and I know that it's not going to have escaped many football fans' attention how good he's been this season. But I still think he's been a bit underrated.
I think you're absolutely right there, and I think it's because the focus has been on Liverpool's defence thus far this season.
And mostly Man City as well.
And mostly Manchester City. But Mo Salah has been absolutely phenomenal. 12 goals already. Yeah, I mean, 12 for the position he plays. Mm. Now, I know he's playing quite far up the field, even though he's on a more wide position and obviously has freedom to sort of roam in that dynamic front three that they have. But 12 goals already for Liverpool.
It's fantastic
season.
And as I said in previous shows, where like he is so much of the focus, the fulcrum of everything that goes through Liverpool, and he's a supplier of goals as well, or he's supposed to be.
What I really like about
a lot in his locker, definitely. Mm.
What I like about the sort of the clear sort of transfer strategy with that was like they've looked at Sadio Mane and how effective he's been. It's like what if we can replicate that on the other side, and it just has worked that well. And it's also relieved that burden on Mane as well to sort of be the guy that makes everything happen if he's not there,
because their season sort of fell apart a little bit when he was absent last year. I was watching that game. I'm obviously not a West Ham fan, but I was watching that game through my fingers. With the way that I understand that a team needs to push on, especially at home, and I think they're already 2-0 down at this point. So I do get it. I do get that you can't just shut up shop and take a 2-0 defeat at home, especially with the sort of atmosphere around the club at the moment.
But they got the goal from Lanzini back in, which was a great goal.
They did, but when they committed forward, I mean, they can see it a minute later. When they got forward, it's almost a bit, you were fearful for them. It was the same with Arsenal and Man City, which we'll come on to in a wee bit. I'm almost watching it through my fingers because I'm thinking, if they get you on the break, if they get a ball to feet and they break here, you are in big trouble. Big trouble.
It was quite telling that Klopp went, Klopp always goes a very attacking lineup, but like Emre Can was, the only midfielder that was even in the direction of being vaguely defensive. Do you know what I mean? They just knew they could overrun them away from home as well. Like it speaks a lot of Klopp's confidence as well. But just how people view West Ham, and that has to change.
Well, even the fans. I mean,
it's a luxury you can afford when you've got Ragnar Klavan in the centre back position, mate.
It was when they conceded the fourth after 75 minutes. A lot of the home fans started leaving. That's how they view their own club. What's the point? Although Andy Carroll's issued a sort of a battle cry, hasn't he? He believes that this is not a good idea. He said, they should be staying. They should be staying until the end. You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, they do know what's going to happen, which is
why they're leaving.
If West Ham had pulled it back to 4-3 and then hit the bar in the last minute, you can sort of say, they conceded the fourth, and then you just carried on and it was a tepid 4-1 loss.
Yeah. But to be fair to Andy Carroll, obviously he said that in the heat of the moment. It's very emotional and he's already got quite a bit of stick about it from West Ham fans. But late goals do make a difference come the end of the season. And if you are at the point where, I know this game is obviously written off by that point, but if you're at the point where you can still get back in it and everyone's leaving and assuming that you've messed it up again and they hate you, if that takes the wind out of yourselves a little bit, which it shouldn't as a professional, but people are just people, aren't they?
Uh-huh.
It does put you at a slight disadvantage. Look, fine margins are important.
Look, you're absolutely right.
We might concede another.
Yeah, there's some good players in this Liverpool side and you might miss goal of the season. But you are correct, but the example he then gave was
the greatest Egyptian that ever played.
Mido, come on. Yeah. He then said, for example, look at the Palace fans when they equalised in the 97th. I don't remind them of that.
That's the worst example he could have picked.
And for those who don't remember, that was against West Ham. But the thing is, it's a bizarre example, but it stems from the fact that he probably couldn't think of an example West Ham scored late.
But they could be against Spurs at home.
Yeah, well, quite.
That was
the other example that you cited as well, wasn't it? Yeah. So, you do need that. But at the same time, I understand the frustration of West Ham fans. They pay a decent amount of money to watch the team that run the least in the league, and we all know that, and that must drive them mad.
But it was a good win for Liverpool, and it means that they keep up with Burnley, who are also on 19 points.
Yeah.
But Burnley have had an incredible start of the season.
Well, I thought that,
picking up away wins for fun.
Exactly,
and cracked it.
Indeed they are. Chelsea gave Manchester City a helping hand by beating their closest rivals, Manchester United.
I'm sure that's how they'll see it. We'll have a say in this title race.
We're the kingmakers around here. And getting one over Mourinho in the process, of course. Conte didn't shake Mourinho's hand, which was the big story of the match, I think you'll agree.
He was off, wasn't he? Celebrating on the pitch.
Yeah, he was.
I love his open disdain for Jose Mourinho.
Yeah, they don't like. They did have a bit of a handshake in the when Mourinho's team turned up.
Right.
I think Mourinho bumped into Conte in the tunnel and they had a bit of a handshake. So that was a very cursory one.
Did he whisper into Conte's ear, like, that'll do for two?
Yeah.
That'll do for two. Don't need to do it at the end. It's fine.
Mourinho, before, was he not complaining that Conte was celebrating a fourth goal too much?
Yeah.
Saying that you should have respect for your opposition.
Yeah.
I mean, that is ridiculous because Mourinho literally runs down the touchline celebrating.
He's ruined so many trousers.
Oh, right. Yeah. What I love about Conte's reaction to that is basically, no, I don't have respect for you as opposition. Quite clear in that.
And also, what Conte should have said to Mourinho was, well, listen, last time I was diving into the crowd. I'm not doing that. Yeah. I'm being more reserved than that.
Well, Conte set the record straight by saying, handshakes is not important. It's important to win the game. To shake a hand could be important, but it's not important. But what is more important is what is on the pitch.
Stop saying important.
What's interesting with this little spat is that I think Jose Mourinho is struggling to get his head around the concept of winding up a man who's always wound up.
Anyway, exactly, yeah. You're wasting your time. It's already done for you.
Mourinho said he shook Conte's brother's hand, which he said was just as good.
That's just confusing.
Does Mark Hughes have a brother? Well, maybe he can wheel him out this will stop happening.
Mark Hughes is like a brother. Everyone's shaking
his hand.
They need
a double. They need like a stunt double.
Handshake liaison.
Yeah. That is what it's come to.
Yeah.
A handshake liaison. It's a wonderful idea. Mourinho has been at his finest this week because he said quite recently, I think it's probably 25 trophies is the line that people need to make a successful manager.
How many has he got out of interest?
25.
Yeah, okay, right. I just wondered why he picked that number out there.
Including, you know, not Europa League, because that is a genuine
community
trophy.
Shield.
Yeah, Community Shield.
I think he should have said 20.
I think it is, I'm not sure.
24.
Yeah.
You need 24, and I've got 25.
Well, he said for some managers, they still need to win one more trophy to reach that 25 level. Some need 4, some need 12. Others need 25 to reach that level. Mourinho has 25, 4 more than Pep, 25 more than Pochettino.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, obviously, it's a very sort of sort of clear reasons to why he's saying that at this point. But yeah. we all laugh it up still. I mean, on this show, we laugh it up all
the time. Yeah, of course, it's great. Though. The thing with this, though, is this tends to happen before it all falls apart for Jose. And it feels like it's a bit of a season early for that. And I feel like, is this unbecoming of the Man United manager? I mean, I know he won stuff at Real Madrid, but this was a bit of a problem there as well, wasn't it? They didn't like this kind of nature of it.
You're saying poking a fellow manager in the eye isn't becoming of a top level manager?
Yes, I am.
In an arguably ambassadorial role.
Very much so. Yeah,
I know what you mean.
He's not fit to lead his troops.
If Mourinho could poke another manager in the eye, who would you choose?
Who would I choose?
Yeah, for him to
personally.
There's a long list.
Wenger.
No, not Wenger. He thinks Wenger's gone. He's not.
I think
too tall.
You know what?
He is very, very pragmatic, really. Yeah. So yeah,
because of how Mourinho is, I'd go with Eddie Howe. Just because he'd spend the rest of the season going, why has he done that to me? It would quite literally get in his head.
I think Eddie Howe would just start crying.
Yeah. And then Eddie Howe!
And then turn up to work really early the next day. Yeah. That's what he does.
It would ruin him.
No, I think he'd still have a go at Rafa.
Yeah, big time.
Chelsea legend Rafa.
Because he knows if he did it to Conte would turn around and kick the crap out of him. There's a chance that would happen. So I don't think he would. Whereas Rafa, he would love a lovely sly one. And Rafa would just be like, well, what's the point? And then analyse it.
But you know what he needs to do? He needs to do it exactly when Benitez does that quite cute thing where he takes his glasses off, folds them up, puts them in his top pocket. Then get in there then with the thumb. Right in there then with the fish hook. Right then. That's what he needs to do. But the game itself, I have to say, because I really don't want this to go unsaid, every single game I watched this weekend was fantastic.
It was
a great advertisement for the Premier League.
A superb Sunday.
It was. And we do jump on the back of the scheduling and the way that teams set up and these televised games, and last weekend particularly wasn't very good, but the one we've just seen was absolutely superb.
Especially when you look at a lot of the very tight results elsewhere.
Well, Stoke, who would have thought Stoke Leicester would have been a brilliant 2-2? It was fantastic.
But, although it was 2-2 when Leicester won the league.
And it was 2-2 the season before that as well.
There's an omen, ladies and gentlemen.
But they didn't win the season before that.
Yeah, that's the omen.
Okay, right. and what about Alvaro Morata's header? What a delivery and what a header.
I just love it when a header bends. It's such an impressive thing.
It was utterly delightful. It was one of my favourite goals this season.
It's a textbook. Yeah. And I know people say beautiful textbook a lot, but that was a textbook forwards header.
Bloody beautiful. When you see something like that, you think, ah, football.
And when he met the ball at the very top of his jump.
Yeah.
Which is very enjoyable to see.
And it was his first goal in six matches. And the two strikers, Lukaku and Morata, had been compared by that some of their early season goals had dried up. So it was very important for Morata, that goal, to get a goal in such a big game. The only goal of the game, of course, whereas Lukaku, a little bit quiet. And
yeah, but he looks isolated, doesn't he? But
it
looks very much like a sort of tactical isolation from United's point of view, rather than the opposition shutting him down, because he's just, the service to him is, you know, I mean, it's David De Gea punting balls up to him at points, you know, it seems very strange.
With the caveat that I agree with you, Jim, that the way Mourinho sets up his teams, more often than not in big games, makes it tough for him. I still do think Lukaku is going to really struggle to shake off that flat track bully type like moniker, because he simply just does not look. I suppose he did hit the post a while back in a big game, and he had a chance which he could have done better with. So I guess he is making chances for himself.
There was a bit of a late flurry in this match, wasn't there, really, for Manchester United?
But that was mostly Fellaini causing all sorts. Absolute all sorts.
Well, we know what Mourinho does now. I mean, he says 1-0 is the easiest result to get in football. What is our 1-0, you mug? You're on the end of it. But that's obviously how he sets up. So when they go a goal behind, they need something, you chuck on the wrecking ball.
But I love Marcus. You were the first person to say this, to my knowledge, certainly in this show, is that for all the money you chuck around football, for all the sophistication, for all the fine margins, if you get some nuisance value on there, it still works.
Which is why I think, after his goal, Crouch has got a future in that England side still.
Our listeners be in touch about that.
I bet they have, as they should. But it is true. There is something about a big bloke who's all arms and elbows, who can get his head on the ball, who can cause a bit of havoc. No matter your 50 million strikers and your £200 million forwards and all that, there is still something in football at the top level for that kind of player. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the essence of English football.
It's a very different physicality, though, isn't it? It's like you're used to defending like a 6'1" footballer, but you're not used to defending a 6'8" one. You're really you're too big and lanky.
But he's big, but he's not as tall as Crouch.
But also he's quite sort of, he's a bit of a galoot, isn't he? He's kind of he's swinging his feet all over the place.
He's a nightmare for defenders. Yeah.
Matt Dickinson at the Times tweeted, "I don't know how Fellaini even got out of the womb." with those elbows.
That's very good.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And also, I don't know if you guys share this, and maybe everyone does, and I'm just behind the curve, which is eminently possible. I mean, Phil Jones is a hapless bloke.
It's amazing, isn't it?
He's had a pretty good season.
That was a great finish under pressure.
I think Morata deserves sort of credit for using Phil Jones to do that. He pushed him onto the ball.
I don't even think that was a foul, you know. As someone who's clogged his way through 200 Sunday league games at centre-back, I'm sorry, you've got to be stronger.
I think it's bustle, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's just the hustle and bustle of the game.
Yeah. Hustle, bustle. If you're gonna want an own goal like that disallowed for hustle and bustle, then don't put Fellaini on. It works both ways.
Very true. Going back to Azpilicueta, he notched his fifth assist of the season. All five of those assists have been to Morata. He's got a lovely relationship, which for a guy playing in a back three is quite something, really. Only David Silva and Kevin De Bruyne have more assists this season, I believe. Which is remarkable for Azpilicueta. One for your fantasy team, ladies and gentlemen.
I've got him in my fantasy team.
And you're wise to do so. Conte was furious with Chelsea's performance, of course, against Roma midweek in the Champions League, where they lost 3-0 and their defending was piss poor. Yeah. And David Luiz dropped completely from the squad.
Yeah, so the talk is that the debrief after that 3-0 defeat against Roma featured Kennedy and David Luiz not, in Conte's mind, behaving appropriately. So as a result, they were both dropped from the squad.
And apparently, they were sat next to each other, weren't they?
Apparently, yeah, they were in the stand. Was it you, Pete? You were saying that apparently Kennedy was yawning his way through the whole thing.
Well, no, he was yawning through a team meeting, I think, and that's why he got dropped in the first place, also his other behaviour.
Maybe he was just tired.
He was just sleepy.
It's tiring being a professional athlete.
The Jamie Kennedy experience. Yeah. Experience. What was that TV show back in the day on MTV?
Yeah, Jamie Kennedy. Was he the guy in Scream?
I think he might have been.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's all I know about him.
So don't yawn or scream in when Conte's speaking. Presumably, Man City convincing against Arsenal. Jim, they're 8 points above Man United and Spurs. And to be honest with you, considering how Man City started the game, Jim, as an Arsenal fan, are you quite happy just to lose 3-1?
Well, I wouldn't go as far as happy, but relieved to not be sort of more embarrassed than it could have been. I mean, it's one of those games, isn't it? It's just. you can't really sort of criticise Arsenal too much because City are just so clearly so far ahead of everyone else.
I mean, you can criticise the starting lineup.
Yeah, 100%.
Oh, very much so. Yeah. 100%. I mean, the Lacazette thing is getting frustrating because he is the player that's most likely to dig a goal out of nothing. And I mean, to nuts Ederson like that in that context was pretty good.
I think
as
Ederson's
well.
A really good keeper. Mm.
We have a lack of zest, right?
Yeah,
there's a very clear way to fix that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Aaron Ramsey tried to use Ederson in much how Morata tries to use Phil Jones to score. Yeah. Which was quite. I mean, that was. Was it Nat Lofthouse in the famous FA Cup final?
Yeah,
there was a little bit of harking back to that.
Not only the fact that Lacazette does look a class and quite ruthless type forward. Excuse me. I also think he would do really well in terms of relieving the pressure on Arsenal. You're playing away from home against a good team, and they are the best team in the league. If they were more ruthless, they would have scored six goals in that game. Mm-hmm. And I know Arsenal got on the score sheet as well, and good for them. But Lacazette would have offered them a huge outlet.
Yeah.
And I think it was a real, a real own goal, not only to not pick him, but also to play Coquelin in that position. Yeah, it was very strange.
The assumption was Coquelin would be starting in the midfield, but obviously he started in the back three. And I think he wanted Alex Iwobi because he's quite sort of powerful and quite good at holding the ball up. A lot of the time, though, he's had a fairly anonymous display. And that was the explanation for Lacazette's starting on the bench, and I just think it was the wrong call.
I just don't know what sign also it sends out if you're going to spend whatever it is 50 million quid on the striker and one of the biggest games of your season, you're not going to play it.
He should be bedded in by now. He's got six goals in the Premier League. It's not like he's it's not like he's
Alan Shearer was tearing his hair out on match. Well, he doesn't have any hair. He was scratching his head on match of the day excuse me, about Arsenal with the selection of the lack of Lacazette and also the game plan. You know, he said, well, fair enough, they tried to sort of press, but they all just didn't do it. But the funny thing is, if Lacazette was, I can understand maybe Giroud not being a forward who you'd think of pressing, although I think Giroud's a decent player. But at least with Giroud, you know, he could have held the ball up a bit more. He's a different type of outlet. But with Lacazette, you know, he does have pace. He's not just a number nine off the shoulder of the last man. There's a lot to his game.
Yeah, I don't think Lacazette alone would solve that pressing
issue. No, of course.
Because, you know, as was pointed out on Match of the Day, you need to press as a team. And there's a great example when Ederson tackled Aaron Ramsey in the box and the ball came loose, and Iwobi, he probably wouldn't have got there, but he didn't even make any effort to. And a lot of the time with that sort of pressing game, you aren't going to win the ball every time, but you put the pressure on and you quicken the tempo of the opposition and you force them to make a mistake. And, you know, City obviously swarm and do that so brilliantly, but if Arsenal were attempting it, it didn't show enough.
I also think there's problems with Arsenal as far as they look with that sort of front three of Iwobi, who's very inexperienced. I'm not saying he's not physically strong, but he's very inexperienced. And Ozil and Sanchez. Sanchez is tenacious, but he's not that. He wouldn't say he's that strong in terms of a huge. If you took a huge pool of,
he's up against someone stronger.
Yeah, exactly. And obviously Ozil seems quite lightweight. So, and the players at Arsenal, what I find, are quite robust. Players like Xhaka and Kolasinac. I mean, Kolasinac is new to the Premier League, so that's sort of fair enough. But Xhaka, he just doesn't have the right temperament. Mm. He had to be subbed off after that goal that they thought was offside. It was just about offside, but it was much closer than Granit Xhaka thought. Mm. And they had to sub him off because he was going to get himself sent off.
You've got to play to the whistle in that situation. They should all know that.
Exactly. And so I think, whether it be Giroud, I think Lacazette is better than Giroud, personally. But Giroud would also give you that option. Mm. It would give you that option of an outlet. I mean, just to relieve the pressure, you know, run the channels, hold the ball up, all that kind of stuff.
He was pretty dreadful midweek, though, wasn't he? He was completely off.
I didn't see that game, the 0-0, I didn't see it, but apparently it was one of the worst football matches of all time. So I don't have anything to offer on that.
My highlight of the whole situation was Graham Souness at half-time, sort of temporarily forgetting himself and referring to the six-yard box as the goalkeeper's small box. I love that. The goalkeeper in his small box. It really tickled me.
But he called the 18-yard box a large box.
The big box, presumably. Yeah.
I prefer that.
I like it. I think that should, going forward, be what it's
called.
It's
not small box.
Well, is your own house... I'm starting off now.
He calls it his house. He calls the 18-yard box his house.
This is my house!
That's how a home he is as a forward player.
The D is his jacuzzi.
I can imagine Tim Howard shouting that when he's a golfer at the end of the United States.
Your own half must be the even bigger box.
Yeah.
And then the whole pitch.
Yeah,
the gigantic box.
The rectangle.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an intriguing bit of terminology.
Did you see the goalkeeper in the, I think it was Bundesliga, trying to kick the ball?
Oh, the Mainz-keeper.
Yeah, the Mainz-keeper. He stopped the ball on the penalty spot.
But the ball.
He looks down with his sort of peripheral vision, sees what he thinks is a ball and tries to kick the penalty spot where the ball goes behind him.
They didn't concede that.
No,
it's one of the most bizarre clips.
Oh, it's beautiful, wasn't it? It's just where he goes, whoa!
Yeah, it's worth checking out. The
cartoon-like.
The Mainz goalkeeper in the Bundesliga, probably a lot of you have seen it. But I found it quite funny with Arsene Wenger. His side were fairly convincingly beaten. It wasn't a hammering, but, you know, if they'd taken the chances, it would have obviously been more by the nature of that. He moaned about the penalty decision and Silva being offside for the third goal. And then he said referees don't work enough and the standard drops every season. And Pep was asked sort of similar questions, and he just went, well, the penalty was a penalty. The offside was offside, but we won because we were better.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty succinct.
And I thought to myself, yeah, that's a manager.
Absolutely true.
I think Wenger, for a man who's built a reputation of not being able to see anything, being able to see that penalty clear as day. I mean, he's probably watched it back, I understand that. But if he has watched it back, then he's knowingly lying, or he has no idea what a penalty is, which I find hard to believe given he's got 400 years management experience.
Yeah, I thought he's obviously very, very blinkered in his view there, isn't he? But I of course it was a penalty. I think it's quite harsh on Sterling as well to say we know he dives well to sort of call his...
tried to sign him in the summer.
Well, exactly. Yeah. To call his integrity into question is unbecoming.
Yeah, I agree.
It's a bit naughty.
Pep sort of brought up last October's Arsenal match against Burnley, where I think Coughlin, somebody scored with a hand. Oh, Koscielny scored with his hand, and you're like going, did you go back at the archives on your phone find last time Arsenal cheated?
I think that was in the post-match, though. I think Guardiola...
Yeah, he did it in the post-match. So in between coming off the field going, right, I need an example, guys.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised if Guardiola knows that. He's a bit of a pervert for that sort
quite.
Of thing.
But although it's not really Guardiola-like, because he normally just thinks of his team. When his team are playing well, he doesn't really give a damn too much of what anybody else is doing. So there's a bit more, you know, other managers kind of tactics there.
But did Arsenal need to go behind before they started playing, and that's disappointing for everyone.
Arsenal host Spurs, of course, after the international break.
Ooh.
But Peter Donaldson is going to host the correspondence after this break.
It was like the parting in the Red Sea. People just went... Whoop.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. It's now time for correspondence with Pete.
It is time for correspondence. Oh, excuse me.
We've all got frogs in our throats.
We've all got froggies.
Last show, we were talking about not having them, and now we've been cursed with them.
Terrible. Hello to Will. Long-time listener, first-time emailer.
Hi, Will.
Having recently moved to Leatherhead in Surrey, due an IKEA run. So after work this Thursday, I drove to the Croydon store. Having spent a largely frustrating time meandering my way through endless showrooms, I found what I'd come for and headed downstairs to the warehouse section to collect the flat-packed items. I found the relevant aisle, and along it was a fairly tall man in tracky bottoms and a hoodie, stood up on the back wheels of his trolley, gently swivelling around. As I moved further along the aisle, the man shouted something in a deep German voice to a young lady behind me, who I presume was his other half. It was half affectionate, half authoritative in tone. German, basically. at this point, I realised it was none other than West Ham United's club record signing, Marko Arnautovic. I enjoyed the thought that A, he shops at IKEA, and B, doesn't simply opt for online delivery but goes to collect the items himself. The trolley swivelling was questionable, though. An injury could have occurred, but what Slaven Bilic doesn't know won't hurt him. I imagine he doesn't care at this point. Yeah. Not really a highlight of the week, just an unusual setting to see a Premier League footballer. Cheers, Will.
He's also Austrian, not German.
Yeah.
I like the idea of him sort of like driving the trolley around like a little kid.
Oh, I can imagine exactly the time, the kind of mood he was in, because he always seems quite disinterested. So I imagine he was just being impatient and just staring off into space.
Yeah, I've got going to IKEA with Marko Arnautovic. That guarantees a row.
I feel sorry for Marcus, because I think when the email started there, it was talk of Leatherhead, and I think Marcus thought he might be able to dust off his old Leatherhead reserve story.
Yeah.
And it was nothing about Leatherhead.
No, but I was quite relieved, actually. I thought, I've just moved to Leatherhead and I found some evidence. Oh, dear.
You could go down there and get yourself another bench.
That's true. Leatherhead drew with Billericay in the FA Cup first round. But
lovable Billericay.
FA Cup first round.
Did they miss a cutting edge? A 35-year-old speller?
I tell you what. A rounded edge.
We got an email from a young man by the name of Cody from Hillsborough, Oregon.
Oh, Cody's back.
He simply says, touche. And then he goes on to say, please learn the difference between begging the question and raising the question. You've never actually done or noted the former. Right, Cody, round two, mate.
He's speaking in Cody.
You will not learn.
Your review of the Big Orton Duke Show app on iTunes. The app doesn't allow playing or downloading in the background, blah, blah, blah. It's good that Iz has a conglomerate of all the shows.
There we go.
Incorrect use of the English language there. During a Patrick J. Adams Suits Ask Me Anything on Reddit, you asked Patrick why he was watched towards his body. You said you'd been watching the show since its premiere. You spelt premiere without the E, premiere, coming from the feminine of the adjective premiere, and is short for premiere representation, meaning first presentation there, Cody.
He'll keep doing this.
Yeah. On the Championship Predictions Forum on Reddit, you came up with the following results for the weekend. Wolves 1, Fulham 3, incorrect. Bristol City 1, Cardiff 2, incorrect. Barnsley 0, Birmingham 2, incorrect. Derby 1-1 with Reading incorrect. Brentford 0, Leeds 2, incorrect. And finally for now, Middlesbrough and Sunderland goalless, incorrect. Thank you for getting in touch. short@thefootballramble.com if you want to have another pop.
Or Cody at thefootballramble.com. Yeah. We'll get that set up, and if we have to, we'll do a separate show. But Cody, you will not learn.
No, I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying Cody.
At least someone is.
And I'm not someone who... I always criticise you for criticising the listeners, but, you know, you, as we always say on the show, you come at the king, you best not miss.
Yeah, exactly. You found one that you really, really dislike.
Yeah, but the reason the reason why Pete likes it is he gets to check out certain corners of the internet.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
And I also think, you guys don't agree, that's fair enough, but just the law of averages states that some of our listeners are going to be pricks.
Yeah, I mean, unbelievable.
A quarter of the choice.
Yeah. Exactly. 50% of this room are pricks.
Hang on. They're all right. Having met a lot of our listeners from the live shows, the vast majority of you, of course, are absolutely lovely.
Which means you think some of them are pricks.
Yeah. The ones that don't come to the show are pricks, I say.
Yeah, your mate who came to you. No,
his dad.
Do you want a couple of Facebook comments?
Yeah, I'd love them. Yeah,
On a theme. Jason Canham says, at the risk of Luke insulting me, I've enjoyed Watford's wobble since he tipped them for a good season. Wanker. Jake Young, this is a nice one for you, Marcus.
Oh, no.
Pin your ears back. This is for you. Jake Young says, Big Peter Crouch booking his seat on the Spelsy Airlines double-decker party plane all the way to Russia next summer is my highlight of the weekend.
That gives me a business idea, that does. And I'm going to need your help, ladies and gentlemen.
And Jaco van der Walt says, my highlight is Paolo Gazzaniga doing a fine job of standing in for two of Spurs' most crucial elements, Hugo Lloris's gloves and Toby Alderweireld's hair.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Pochettino brought him over from Argentina, I think.
Southampton.
Yeah. And he sounds like he's a family friend or something like that. I think that he's known him for a while. So he's kind of like, yeah, just sit on the bench. You'll be third, fourth choice keeper. You won't have to play. But it was nice that when he did play, he was actually decent. Yeah. You know,
he made some really good saves.
Yeah, yeah. No.
There was one moment when Zaha missed that open goal where you thought Lloris wouldn't have let that. There's no way Lloris would have made such a poor decision to not come and get that.
Yeah.
But other than that, I thought he did okay, yeah.
But according to Hodgson, Palace need points, not performances.
They do.
But they are getting better performances, so that is
Well, I think they've got a chance of picking up some good points. If you look at the games they've got coming up, and based on that showing against Spurs, in which I thought they were decent, that they might just be okay.
Yeah. Well, but they do need to, because Bournemouth, we'll come to Bournemouth in a minute, sorry. We mentioned Everton and Watford did lose the game, but we've got to talk about that, because what a match it was.
In a packed weekend of excellent football matches, that was arguably the best.
It was super. Yeah. What a second half.
I know.
And it was a long second half as well.
Yeah.
It was gutting for the neutral that cleverly missed that penalty, because had he have scored, it would have been in the 100th minute, I believe.
Still, though, it's all drama, isn't it? Oh. I think both of those penalties were quite unlucky in terms of those that conceded them, because slipping. It's absolutely a penalty, but it's completely accidental.
But he slipped because Lennon was too good. Because Lennon's change of direction was so good that he couldn't do anything about it. He had no choice.
But also Pickford, where his foot landed, just happened to
that was a penalty.
To trip Richarlison. Oh, absolutely, but at the same time,
do you think? Yeah,
I don't know. Maybe you're more cynical than I am, Marcus. But I thought he was quite unlucky with just how he landed.
Yeah, well, quite possibly. And we won't know until we ask Pickford, which we won't bother with. But David Unsworth, he got a ruddy win, and what was lovely for him about that is that Big Sam Allardyce seems to be the favourite for the job at the time of recording. Of course, it hasn't been. No one's been instated as the permanent manager, but it was so nice because Unsworth clearly loves the club, and a lot of people at the club love him, and so he'll always have a win at Goodison under his formidable belt.
Apparently, he signed for Villa, I think it was, during his career, and then found out an hour later that Everton were interested, and he grew up supporting Everton, so he basically said, Can we undo all this?
Yeah, I remember that.
I want to be caretaker manager. Well,
and speaking of penalty takers, how good was Unsworth putting away the penalty?
Oh, he was great penalty taker.
Well, didn't Baines beat his penalty record?
Did he really?
He gave him like a false telling off at the end of the match.
Oh, telling off. I'd have taken him off him.
I was just going to say, it was great to see Leighton Baines score, but also like when that shot he had in the first half, when he had to like readjust his body, you could almost hear his hinges creaking as he did that.
He'll probably write a song about that one day. the point I just wanted to make was that for all Everton's sort of tribulations and trials and difficulties they've had so far this season, and we've talked about that till the cows come home, one thing maybe we haven't mentioned often enough is actually how young their squad appears to be. Mm-hmm. If you go through their team, you got Rooney. No, not really. You got Jordan Pickford's young, Michael Keane's young, Jonjo Kenny, Tom Davis, Beningame started the game.
Lookman
came off the bench. Calvert-Lewin came off the bench. Mason Holgate's young. I said Davis.
Oh, sorry.
So you got about nine of that first team squad in that game where they battled back 2-0 down against a decent enough team. To win, it's a fantastic testament. It really is, because those players are so inexperienced. And, you know, good for them.
And it's good to see Calvert-Lewin. He obviously got the winning goal. He did get the winning goal in the England under-20s World Cup final. Always good to revisit that, ladies and gentlemen. but it's good to see him getting a run out consistently at a big club in the Premier League, because sometimes people are concerned, rightly so, that some of the younger players, they don't get a chance at that level, having done so well at age cap tournaments. Everton, you know, it was a scrappy win. Yes, they've got a win, and that's the kind of thing that can lift the club. You know, just get a win, kind of thing. And if it's a last minute penalty and you score and then they miss, then fine. They've got the win. But you know, Sam Allardyce is the favourite to take the job. Apparently, he wants Craig Shakespeare as assistant, and I love that because he thinks, hang on a minute, he could be a bit of a lucky charm.
Two big boys in the touchline.
I mean, Watford and Silva should rightly be absolutely fuming because they were 2-0 up and cruising.
I think Gomez coming off,
that was a huge change.
I really do. Gomez has been really good for them in goal, and he was having a brilliant game. And of course, they changed keeper. Now, the first goal, I know Gomez has been a little bit erratic in the past, but the way the keeper came out, a little bit unfortunate.
Well, it was a mistake.
And I also think
he was nowhere near dominant enough for the Dominic Calvert-Lewin header either.
Well, it was his Premier League debut, wasn't it? So that's you're throwing such a huge sort of variable there.
That header, I mean, I've seen, and we all have probably, I've seen Saturday keepers that I've played with come out and clean people out and take that ball for that Calvert-Lewin header. Yeah. He headed it from about 3 yards out. Now, I know there was a load of bodies between him, but if you're a goalkeeper, you've got to be strong. Mm. You've got to dominate that small box. You have to go in there and grab the ball. I'm just casually chucking it into it. You've got to dominate. It's a serious point. You've got to go and get the ball, because there's absolutely no reason for that, for not doing that. And I think he was probably a little bit timid because, as Jim says, it was his debut, but also because he'd already made a mistake. Mm. So then you tend to go sort of safety first and don't make a decision. And that's what ended up costing them, really.
Yeah, very much so. Bournemouth got a much-needed win away at Newcastle.
I didn't see this game.
It was a huge win because we've not really mentioned Bournemouth that much, and they were down there. They were only, I think, 3 points above Palace.
Had a fairly difficult start. Is that fair?
They have had a tricky start, but they've sort of slightly gone under the radar with other clubs struggling. Yeah. And you think Bournemouth are one of those ones that if that sort of continues, you maybe fear for them.
You assume they will start picking up points, and well, here they've done it,
but it was one of those games, Jim, where they had chances. They had a few near misses where they might have scored. And you think, if you don't punish Newcastle here, that is a huge opportunity for 3 points. A point is always all right on the road, but when there's the three going, you've got to go and get it. And they did, 92nd minute winner, I think it was. So a huge win for them. Now, Eddie Howe's job is not probably going to be in danger at Bournemouth, of course, but they have been below par this season. And you start going into that Christmas break and you're down there, you're in 19th or whatever. Palace, they're showing better performances. Whereas Bournemouth, they still look quite likely, and it doesn't look disgracefully bad. Do you know what I mean?
The teams you're most likely fear for at this point, I would say, would be West Ham and Swansea.
Yeah.
Because the other teams are showing stuff.
Oh, but West Brom.
They're sinking like a stone.
He's beginning to feel the pressure there as well.
But the reason I wonder, I can't remember off the top of my head, but the reason I wonder whether Bournemouth have had a trickier start than some other teams is because I was reading earlier, their next three Premier League games are Huddersfield, Swansea and Burnley at home.
So it's a chance.
Even though Burnley away are absolutely rampant. But generally speaking, you think they were winnable games.
Yeah, well, Newcastle, though, they'll be disappointed to lose at home to Bournemouth, of course. Benitez knows this, and he even raised his voice in the dressing room after the game.
Goodness me. Snapped his glasses in front of them.
Apparently he didn't even do that in Istanbul in the half time of the Champions League final. So he must have been fuming.
Well, he thought, well, this is lost. So, yeah. but Lascelles is a doubt for the Manchester United match.
Well, when he came off, it was kind of, they looked a little bit more disorganised and stuff. Mm. And I think that's why the goal got scored. But it's just, Newcastle just look so flat up front. It's just, they've got nothing. Mm. They really haven't. And he seems incredibly. He just doesn't want to play Mitrovic at all. He absolutely detests that man.
Yeah, and you're right though, Pete, because they played two up. From what I saw, they played two up front with Gael and Hosolu, didn't they?
Yeah.
It's toothless in Premier League.
Well, like Hosolu, thing is, he's good, but like he's not a striker. He's not going to put the ball in.
He's a Benitez striker.
He's a big guy. He can hold up the ball and stuff, but he's just not clinical enough. And to be honest, Gael starting like that was quite. Positive. I thought it was a positive sort of thing because we needed the 3 points, and Newcastle needed the 3 points. But they just weren't clinical enough. They just weren't.
I think with Hosolu, he is a type of forward. Benitez looks at that side and thinks, I don't have a goal scorer. So actually, what I want is because obviously money's a little tight to mention up there. Ashley's still in charge of the club. I want someone who's going to be functional.
Yeah.
There's no reason really. Hosolu shouldn't be eating up balls from Matt Ritchie on the flanks.
Yeah. Right? No, Matt Ritchie's been, I think, a lead assist maker for other people.
He's a great player.
I would get Matt Ritchie every time we get the ball. Shoot.
And I agree with you with Dwight Gale. If they get relegated this season, Newcastle, he'll score 30 goals next season in the Championship. Yeah. But he's at the Premier League level, he doesn't seem to be able to do it.
Yeah, that's what I don't understand. He just seems a bit too lightweight,
maybe.
Because
the Premier League's hard.
Okay.
Is it time to get Schola back? You know, we've talked about one or two of his goals. Although a record of his was equalled on the weekend. Peter Crouch, he came off the bench, obviously scored Stoke's equaliser, lovely header. It was his 142nd substitute appearance in the Premier League, equaling Mr. Amiobi's record.
Wow.
What a record to hold.
I imagine he scored more than 50 goals, though.
Makes him very proud. Would you like to see Crouchinho as a nuisance value option?
Him and Carroll.
Imagine
starting up top.
After all we've been through, imagine if England start the World Cup in the summer with Crouch and Defoe up front. It could happen. A couple of injuries that could happen.
Defoe might very well be in the squad, you know. Yeah. So it's not as ridiculous as it sounds.
Harry Kane ACL. Yeah. Coming this May.
Oh, God, come on. Don't spend that.
Coming this May. Harry Kane's legs
right, stop
exploding.
We're going to go to a break because I don't want to hear any more of this. And we're going to talk about the FA Cup first round after this.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
I deeply regret the comments I made. Mm-hmm.
Could have him back soon.
Is that from his first press conference at West Ham?
I deeply regret my interest in this job. The preview show is out on Friday morning, of course, when it always is, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be looking ahead to the international break. Marvellous stuff. Will we have a new better in the hot seat, Luke?
We won't, because Steve Durr, for all his bravado and all his big talk, has only gone and pulled it off.
Go on, Duro.
He's earned the right to be in the hot seat for International Week after his bet of a Man City win and over 3.5 goals in the game earned £130 for Prostate Cancer Super. UK. So Steve will be back in touch with us on Friday for his international bet. Hopefully, if he gets this one in, he'll be setting himself up for the first ever hat-trick.
5-0, England-Germany. Woo!
And I was thinking, I was also...
It was 5-1, Pete.
The problem,
right. Yeah, one better.
The problem with this is that we're going to... If someone gets a hat-trick of correct best bets with Bet365...
We have to kill him.
We have to give him an ORE, which is an Order of the Ramble Empire.
Yes. Yeah.
Steve Durr's actually American. So they can't get OBEs. So
now we're different, though. We're more global.
Ours is better.
What I'm saying, Steve, is I might not give it you.
If you decide it's too early in the season to give out an ORE.
I'm just kidding. So we'll look forward to see what Steve comes up with on the show on Friday morning.
You can get honorary ones, can't you?
Yeah, you can get honorary ones.
Yeah, well, there you are.
Not them, is it?
When we get a podcast award, we will file off the name and write up ORE.
We will send it to Steve Durr.
I'm always confused whenever people refer to the Ramblers, the award-winning football. We don't win shit. We never win anything.
Because we never attend them, that's why.
We won an award at that fake awards that our mates set up that
that's
time.
That's right. Yeah. That counts.
Take it.
That's what they all are, really. That's what they all start.
Exactly. Yeah, it's like the FIFA Pro winner. Hang on.
Yeah.
It was a Ballon d'Or a minute ago. Nonsense. Well, not interested.
Were you in for that as well?
In my head, I voted for myself and won 1-0. Let's go to the FA Cup first round. There were some cup sets, ladies and gentlemen. National League Boreham Wood beat League One Blackpool. First time they've ever beaten a Football League club, Boreham Wood. Fantastic.
Bore on.
Yeah, bore off, Blackpool. They're in the hat for round two. Well done, Boreham Wood. I think it was an 88th minute winner, which is always pleasing for the little side. It's lovely stuff. You see the stadium. Yeah. You can see like the row of houses behind,
long enough to go, we can actually do this without getting so knackered you then ruin it.
They're in round two, Jim, just one away.
I love
from from an away.
Third round FA Cup is my favourite weekend of the season, domestic season.
Yeah.
I love it.
I'm glad you said domestic.
Yeah. it'll World Cup, yeah.
League 2, Carlisle United knocked out League 1, Oldham Athletic. So Clint Hill and Carlisle be in round 2.
Yeah, and was that Clint Hill's 650th appearance as a professional footballer?
You'd know.
It's around that.
Yeah.
Good for him. What a server.
How do you know that off the top of your head? You clearly don't.
No, I don't know. I might be wrong. I don't imagine there are many Clint Hill statisticians out there, Pete. So I think I'll probably be okay.
But yeah, leave
him a text.
Carlisle United, eh? Could be their year, ladies and gentlemen.
For
round three.
Okay, right.
Okay.
You know, Clint Hill will want to respect his friend Luke Moore by getting into that third round of the weekend, and it will be your favourite weekend and an added incentive.
I would like to have seen Gainsborough Trinity in the hat, but they were well beaten by Slough Town, sadly.
Yeah,
a name for a team, though. Gainsborough Trinity.
Gainsborough, Rack City.
And who else is not in the hat for round two? Portsmouth and Hartlepool.
Oh, Portsmouth got beaten by Luton. Yeah, terrible. Yeah,
awful.
Lots of people on Instagram, of the Portsmouth official Instagram, which is actually quite a good follow.
I'm sure.
Lots of people saying, jack it out. Too early for me. And maybe they just say it's getting colder or something.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But there's a lot of jacket out going on.
Jacket.
Okay, yeah. Right.
And I'll tell you, Marcus, you didn't put this in the running order, so I'll just give them a mensch.
Yeah.
Maidstone of the National League had an amazing result. They beat Cheltenham Town handily at Cheltenham.
Yeah, that was, I thought that one of you guys would pick up the pieces.
Did you? There you go. No problem, mate.
So well done, mate. And then we've got to mention National League South, Oxford City. 1-1-0 away to League 2 Colchester United.
That's a great result.
That is a great result. The beautiful city of Oxford.
I really wish Portsmouth would get to the third round.
I knew you would be really gutted about that.
Yeah.
And as you should be. As you should be. But of course, Peter, Newcastle United will be in the third round, whatever happens. Not even Mike.
Because they're in the Premier League.
Not even Mike Ashley can put the kibosh on that.
Look forward to them getting beaten in the third round home to...
We can't get beaten by Brighton this year, really, because they're not technically a championship. They're not a league lower than us.
No,
so we usually get beat by Forest or...
Forest is...
Oh, yeah, championship side will definitely knock Newcastle out. But I was thinking to myself, there's no kind of update on the sale. And then I thought, are they waiting until Black Friday for a cheeky bit?
Pile them high, sell them cheap.
Indeed. Mm. It's time now, ladies and gentlemen, for Going for Glold.
It is time for Going for Glold. I'll just press this button if I can. There we go. When they're going
for Glold. Glold. Before we get into this, can I just say, for the record...
You're still angry?
Well, no, look. I'm just going
to... You say I get upset.
You still got to go to Leeds and get a result. Was it Leeds? I can't remember now.
Middlesbrough.
Get something.
It was Middlesbrough.
I'm not surprised you blocked that out, you remember. But can I just say, those of you who are keen-eared will know that Jim wasn't on the show last month.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
He didn't have a chance for going for glass.
Luke and Jim talked about this before we recorded the preview show.
He missed the hiss-hiss.
Jim was right on my... Jim, you're on my side.
I am. I agree with you.
Lads, it's just a game.
So for the avoidance of doubt, when someone says stop it, this is not against you, Marcus.
50% of the podcast are pricks.
Concur.
Duly noted. You're not going to get this one, so up yours.
Just when someone says stop, fucking stop. Yeah. That's what I'm asking for.
There's a clue in the word.
Think of it as an instruction.
Lord. I've got my buttons back.
Think of it as an instruction because that's what it was specifically designed.
Lord.
There we go. Very nice.
That button's like your red chair on Graham Norton.
David Weirs. Thank you for these clues, David Weirs. You are a solid gentleman. I was born in Frankfurt, Germany on July 25th, 1980.
Stop. Lukas Podolski.
Not Lukas Podolski, no.
Stop. Thomas Hitzlsperger.
No.
Nice one.
Would you like a... Would you like a crack? Despite winning 76 caps for my country, I could not match my father's mark of 135.
Oh, that's a very good clue.
Good, isn't it?
Yeah, interesting. That is. Sometimes I get so interested in this, I forget that I'm in it.
Oh, this is nice.
What was the father's... Did you say the father's mark?
135. Good, isn't it?
Very good. I don't know it.
I played in the 2002 and 2010 World Cup, but not the 2006 World Cup.
Stop.
No, you see, I started saying stop.
No, this is fine.
All right, this is fine.
Luke's guess.
Miroslav Klose.
Incorrect.
I knew it wasn't him. I realised.
2002 and 2010, did you say?
Yeah.
Okay.
Go on.
Among others, I played for Eintracht, Mainz, and also Celtic at various points in my career.
Oh, that's spells you're going to get that.
I know.
Am I? Sorry, Eintracht, Mainz, and
Celtic.
And
Celtic. If you can repeat.
Oh, no, you're the other half of Glasgow. You won't get it.
Very good.
On March 25th, 2012. I was sent off in the Old Firm, Derby. Old Firm Derby in the 29th minute via a straight red.
Which year was that?
2012.
I can't think.
I was long gone.
I should know this. I should really know this.
I'm thinking
annoying.
The guy probably wasn't German in some sort of fake
well, clearly,
out.
Yeah.
It's not.
I didn't play in the 2014 World Cup either, but I did make the finals of an international tournament in 2015.
Stop.
Go on. Get it, for crying out loud.
Mikael Lustig.
Incorrect.
Damn it! You see this?
Final question, gentlemen.
Oh,
but
no,
Pete. Go to the first clue again. Where was he born?
So he played in 2002 and 2000.
Yeah, where was he born?
He was born in Frankfurt, Germany.
Right, but he can't be German because there's no way.
No, he's not
that many caps.
Yeah. I don't think he is. Well, 2002, 2010.
Yeah. Carry on.
This is beautiful. I love you, David. I was named the right back in the 2015 AFC Asian Cup team of the tournament, joining three of my South Korean countrymen.
I've got nothing.
It's Chaduri!
Oh, I don't know who that is.
Trivago, fuck yourself.
76 caps for my country. I couldn't match my father's mark of 135.
Well played.
One of the greatest South Korean footballers ever. Thank you very much. If you want to get involved, if you just want to say hello to the show, at thefootballramble.com. But if you've got glowed clues,
they send that one to you.
At thefootballramble.com.
Yeah, there we are.
Allow me to finish. Allow me to finish because that's what I do.
Stop.
For glowed.
Make it. There's no point doing stupid players like that.
I get the points this time, don't I?
You do.
No,
yeah,
I think
you
that's
do.
My first one of the season because I think you've got it every time.
He gets the point.
Right, yeah. David Weir does.
Because you never did the clues.
You can't be asked to the clues. You can't get the point.
Fair. You're just
helping people.
You are now just the messenger.
Helping people.
You're the Gover Glove messenger.
Look at them. They're so bitter when they don't win.
No, we're saying that you didn't win.
As the old saying goes, if you want the points, you've got to put the work in.
There we are. That's it, everybody. Any more for any more?
I've got nothing else, I don't think. No, I haven't. No.
I'll
check out On the Continent every Wednesday. Subscribe by searching On the Continent wherever you get your pods. It's about European football and it features James Horncastle and Andy Brassel. In my mind, it's the finest European football show out there. So give it a bash and don't forget we'll be back on Friday, right?
We'll be back on Friday for the preview show, of course. Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
See you later.
Bye for me.
even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.